Ephesians chapter 5, we'll take our text tonight from the 8th verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would guide us tonight. Guide our understanding. Teach us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a teachable spirit. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher this evening. We love you. We ask for these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Many years ago, my family and I made our way to Wyoming, and we were spending some time there in the great, it's a national forest there, Yosemite, and we got to travel around the area. My dad, all of our vacations growing up were preaching vacations, and so my dad would get invited to preach somewhere, you know, we'd never been before, and so we would get to go, and he would go down a couple days earlier, we'd go down a couple days later. Well, in this particular instance, we got to go down a couple of days at a time. We got to actually, you know, he got done preaching, and then we went and actually did some stuff. It was a lot of fun, had a great time, and I have a lot of great memories from out in the Lander, Wyoming area. And out there in that area, there's really beautiful high mountains, and then they'll just be just flat land for as far as you can see. It's just kind of a cool part of the country. And I remember as a boy, we went to a particular mountain range, and we were looking at this mountain range, and we drove up in it, and we were enjoying the mountains that day. It was just beautiful to be in, and if you've ever been in the mountains, you know it's all kind of breathtaking, you know, and it's got this amazing feel that, you know, we don't get it in Kansas. I mean, I've stood over the Flint Hills before, you know, it just doesn't have the same, you know, kind of capture your imagination, and so we watched, you know, you go out on these edges, you go out on these cliffs. And it was amazing to me. You look down off of these cliffs, and it was just nothing forever. I mean, it was like big sheer drops. I remember we would about the fifth one in, where the preacher walked us back into this little trail, and we found this cove of trees that were all cleared out, and you could see out over the valley below, and you could see the caverns, and you could see all the dips in the rivers running. You know, you look down into those valleys, and the river is just, you know, it's little bitty because it's so far away from you. You just kind of just see green, and it's just beautiful, and all this mountain around you. And I remember we were standing there one time, and I was, I'd like to think I was 14 or so, about that age, and we're there with my parents, and we're looking around, and there was a little lady from that was also visiting. We didn't know her from anywhere, and my mom and I are talking, and brothers playing around, goofing off, and that woman started to try to get our attention, and it got her stuttering. She was so wound up about what she saw, she just stuttered again and again and again. She goes, and she just knew something wasn't right. And my mom turned around, and my younger brother, 7 years old, is standing on the rocks that are like right on the edge of this thing. And if you know my brother, if there's a way to get hurt, he found it. You know, he's like almost cut his fingers off when he was a kid. Just a bunch of crazy stuff the kid did. And one of those was standing on this ledge. My mom screams, grabs him, and pulls him. You know, now that I'm older, I realize maybe he should have held on to the scream, you know, just take him lightly so you don't scare him over. But I remember that moment, kind of this vivid moment where we're taking in the sheer beauty of everything around us, the sheer power of all that we could see. It just captured your imagination, captured your heart. It almost took your breath away how beautiful all of this was. And in the middle of all of it was this wake up to the danger, the reality that something that was beautiful could also be very, very, very destructive. Something that's amazing could at the same time crush your hope and crush your life. I think of how dangerous it could be to fall from a distance like that, when at one moment you were admiring its beauty and the next moment it could take you out. A bit like I would imagine, tangoing with wildlife. You know, this, to me, there's just nothing cooler than a lion. You know, a big mane, and it's just this gorgeous creature, you know. And you can see it. It's beautiful behind glass. You know, it's gorgeous as long as he's on that side of the fence, you know. I would go to the zoo, and you show your kids the zoo, and you get to see these lions there. And boy, when he starts to make noise, just from somewhere down inside, he makes this, you know, kind of growl and grumble. And whenever he wants to, lions don't need to roar. You know, that's the rule, they say. Lions don't need to roar. They just do it. They just do it because they can. And every so often, they'll make that bark, or they'll make a little bit of a roar. It just feels like it comes out of the ground underneath them. It's just this beautiful thing. I love lions. One of my favorite. I just love looking at them. I love looking at pictures of them. I think they're beautiful to look at. And you don't have need to bring me any pictures, okay? Because we have this thing now called the internet, and I can look at pictures of lions. I don't need any. But you know, you look at these pictures, and I'd see these cool pictures, and they get neat desktop looks. I just like the ones with lions on them. I think they're cool, you know? Except if I ever ran into one, I think I would lose my admiration for one very quickly. If you ever come across one, you know, they're beautiful over there. It's when they're outside of the boundaries. It's when you're looking at the mountain range, it's beautiful until you've crossed the boundaries. It's nice to admire God's creation, but there's this reminder down inside that creation, it can be crossed. And when crossed, it will leave you marked, if not destroyed. The reality is, I think the same thing of media today. Not even today. It's been this way for a long time. My dad's been preaching this for 25, 30 years. Here we are 25, 30 years later, and I think of how more prevalent sin is and how more accessible sin is now than it was ever before. I tell you, I heard it said when I was a boy, I can't imagine raising kids in this next generation, you know? And I think of what our parents are going to have to come up against in the next generation and what your kids are going to come up against when they're raising their children. I tell you, our media today has been bent towards something that is dangerous. And though it may bring good, and I use big quotes when I say good, I don't know how good it is if every other thing that they can get a hold of in the media could also destroy them. I think if we're not careful, we've got to recognize that everything in life has a boundary that must not be crossed. Everything has a boundary. We've recognized in the lessons previous that when exposed to dangers, darkness, secrecy, addictions, these things, just the basic safety of a young person is at risk when media is not managed, when media is not taken care of, when it's not guarded, when it's not shielded. We expose our families, we expose our children to dangers that are lurking just on the other side. You say, well, I know what they're seeing, I know what they're viewing, I know what they're looking at, I understand, but I remind you, let us not ever think that there is nothing but safety out there in the media. I say media, I don't just mean social media, though there is an enemy lurking in social media. And I don't just mean the internet, even though we've got to know there's an enemy lurking behind every click. They're just lurking there waiting. It's built to destroy and steal hope. It's built to steal purity. And this whole system geared towards the destruction of purity. And I recognize that it's not even that anymore. It just boggles my mind how little there is to even view on TV anymore. And I've found over the years less and less and less and less. And even for a moment, you want to just sit down and relax. You've got all, you just can't. It's always prevalent. And they're constantly ready to take the Lord's name in vain and ready to show you something that fast. They don't need a lot of time to show you something that years ago would have been considered inappropriate and wrong. And now it's on prime time. And there's just this wickedness that's always lurking. And instead of us seeing it as a sight to take in, I'm afraid many times we should be approaching it as a danger that we can build a boundary around. That way the good can't be stolen from the destruction. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you. Imagine your family, if you would, as they're logging in. Imagine them standing on that rock wall overlooking some great chasm. Imagine them playing with the lock on the lion's cage. Because literally that's what's taking place. No, someone might not snatch them right out of the screen, but their purity could be taken that quick. Their imagination could be robbed from them that quick. Their heart, that kind of passivity to lust. I don't know if you know what I mean, but there's this nature about lust. If it's given a little bit, if it's just given a little bit, it won't stop. It's like a switch gets turned on in the mind. And if we're not careful, that little switch can be flipped so quickly. And that mind that never would have thought of those things, that mind that was completely absent of sexual desires before, now is wrestling with thoughts and doesn't even know how to deal with the thoughts it's wrestling with. And it can happen so fast. I don't know that anybody wakes up in a day and says, today's the day I'm going to ruin my life. Today's the day I'm going to ruin my ability to have intimate relationships with my spouse. I don't think anybody wakes up doing that. I don't think anybody says, well, you know, I think they'll be okay. They'll make it. You know, I know that there's my kids, they're okay. I hope nobody in here thinks, oh, my kids, they're good kids. They wouldn't get into that. My friend, there is none good. No, not one. There's none. Let's approach it correctly. The Bible says, well, how should I approach it? The Bible says, walk circumspectly. Now, the idea of circumspectness is really a sign of wisdom, and the opposite, the Bible tells us, is to walk like a fool. Now, look with me in the text, if you would, tonight. I want you to see tonight that circumspect individual. You can find him in verse number 15, that last verse that we read. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. You see, the Bible is telling us here there is a foolish way to live. There is a foolish way to parent. There is a foolish way to get on the internet. There's a foolish way to turn on the TV. There's a foolish way to rent from Redbox. There's a foolish way to get on your Netflix. There's a foolish way to engage in media. There is a foolish way and there is a wise way. My friend, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. That word circumspect means the word circum, of course, is a surround. It is to surround something. It is to carve out around something. That's circumspect. And of course, the word we get there, spect, we use the word inspect. It comes from the same root word. It means to look all around. To go all around the edges to make sure that there is no way the enemy can creep in. It gives the idea of the shepherd who would watch his sheep at night. The historians tell us that shepherds would have their sheep in the field, but whenever it was time to bring them in for the season or it was time to bring them in for rest, they would actually bring them into a kind of a pen. It was really just a rock wall. And these rock-walled areas have a big round rock wall, and you have them all over the fields, and different shepherds would use them different times. One shepherd from one field might use it one night, and then he'd move his sheep out, and the next night there'd be another tenant in there, and the shepherd would take care of his sheep. And the shepherd, before he'd ever take his sheep in, would actually go around the edges to make sure that nothing that could hurt the sheep had found its way into the pen while it was vacant. And he'd make sure that everything was okay. He'd also be checking the wall. He wanted to make sure there were no where areas that had been broken down where foxes or wolves could jump in to the pen with them. He made sure there was an adequate height. And then after all of that was done, he had made a survey, he had made a circumspect around the wall. He would then come to the gate of it. He would put the sheep inside the pen, and then he himself would watch vigil over the entryway. He would watch vigil over that which could be allowed in and out. No sheep was coming out. No wolves were coming in without there being a guard at the gate. David proved that lions didn't know the boundary markers. So when the lion wanted to take one of David's sheep, he found out the gatekeeper was pretty good at keeping the gate. The Bible says he struck the lion down. The Bible tells us that a bear tried to get a hold of David's sheep, but David struck the bear down. The warning is to us as believers is that there is an enemy that wants to break in, and his only desire is to steal. His only desire is to kill. His only desire is to destroy. He's not here to entertain. He's not here to use up a little bit of your time. He's not here to play with you for a minute. He's not here to just talk to you and make you feel good. His goal is to destroy you, tear you apart, and leave you with but fragments of what God had promised you. He wishes to do it not only to you, but to your children. Why, my child? My child is innocent. Not in this war, he's not. Not in this war, she's not. Satan would love nothing more than to steal the heart of your little girl so that she could never be satisfied with the love of her father and never be satisfied with the love of her family and has to go out and find something that she one time had her heart opened up to, just one little moment. Satan would love to steal the innocence of a man's heart so that he always had skeletons in his closet and he's always trying to be concerned about what was going on in his mind. He had to constantly, day after day after day, put vigil over his mind. Imagine what could have happened had that child never had to wrestle with those thoughts until later on in his years. Instead, in a moment, one lack of circumspect, one time, somebody didn't put up a guardrail and make their way around the fence and hold up circumspection. By the way, technology is new enough that we don't fully understand its physical effects. I think of the physical protection that our families need. Our families need physical protection. I was laughing and talking with one of our gentlemen here in the church before church started. He was showing me his concealed carry firearm. And you can bring those to me. I can't see enough of those. And no, I'm just teasing. But the truth is that I got to see his firearm. We were talking about it a little bit and talking about the fact that we have to defend ourselves and protect ourselves sometimes. And he was just sharing with me for a moment what he had there. And we just kind of talked a few moments, but the reality is that we need to protect our families. We have to protect them. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel real comfortable around gun owners. I understand that. I don't think you have to have one. I'm not saying it's a spiritual quality. At the same time, I also understand the desire of somebody wants to protect their home. I think that's a valued thing. I think it's a good thing. And as long as we have the right to in our country, I think we ought to. And I think we ought to have the right to be able to protect our family, not just physically from those who would wish to do them harm, as in coming through or breaching the home walls or doors, but also that we would be those who recognize I need to protect my child from the things that Satan wants to do to their mind and what the world wants to do to their mind. Dr. Gary Small, author of the book iBrain, Surviving the Technological Alteration of the Modern Mind, reports that neuroimaging studies show that the teen sends and receives texts with the same part of their brain, and it lights up as an addict's brain who's using heroin. The same time the kid is getting that fire back and forth, it's the same side of the brain that fires up when the addict is using drugs. And of course, we could probably wouldn't even need to go into the fact that the release of chemicals in the brain from approval on social media, people will chase that high, that dopamine high, the same way they would chase it from a drug. They chase it from the thumbs up on the Facebook page. That little thumbs up, that little heart, that little like, that little thing gives the same release as if you were doing something physical and having found a reward for it. They play the little video game, and the same dopamine release when they win a level or they get a trophy or they get a gold whatever they're working for, that real valuable thing that's on there that they get again and again and again and again and again and lose just as easily, but they keep playing just in case this time I get that level, you know. And there's that same kind of addiction to get that next little jolt of approval. We recognize, by the way, that's not just a teen thing. That's not just a teen thing. I find myself, I have to take time off of those things because I know that same little thing will happen to me. Don't look at me with your judgmentalism. I could look on your phone right now, you Candy Crush folks. Game's been old for 8 years now. Get it off your phone. No, I'm just kidding. The truth is that we all kind of have that same exact thing, even more so our children who are susceptible to it. Our children can be susceptible to the alteration of that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, the Bible introduces this idea of strongholds. The idea of a stronghold is that which would is a truth that is bought into whether we know how to label it or not. In other words, the stronghold is what drives our actions, even the ones we can't explain why we do them. Why do we respond in anger when this thing happens to us? Well, we don't even know why. Well, I don't know why. It's a belief that's wrong. It is a action driven by a bought into belief. Whether that belief is, oh, you know what? They'll forgive me. It's okay. I know God hates sin, but he'll forgive me. It'll be okay. And we have a lighthearted attitude toward sin. We would never say that. But there's this low-lying belief. It would never rear its head and call itself what it is. That's why you need to identify it. That's why in this he says, God, it will give us the power to overcome any stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You and I have bought lies and bought into lies. Can I tell you that there are strongholds wishing and hoping to build a place in the heart of your children, and they've got to know that they have an advocate through you that will help them overcome and push down strongholds in their life. I'd encourage you, to be honest with you, I want to do the same. I don't speak tonight as one who's got their act all together and has all the answers. I do know that if we wish to be profitable and wish to be of value, we're going to have to be those who check our use. Check your use. You say, yep, we need to watch our children. I'm not starting with the children. We've got to check it ourselves. I'm not speaking against these things. You understand, I'm not speaking against somebody who has Facebook. It was years ago somebody said the pastor hated Facebook. I don't hate Facebook. I hate everything, right? It's not Facebook in particular. I just don't like stuff, okay? I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm allowed. I got a card. It says I get to hate stuff, right? That's what I do. Pastor, if you want to know, is pastor for this? Just say no, and then find out later that I did like it or whatever, okay? But usually it's just, nope, I hate it, okay? And the reality is I'm not against these things. I'm not against a goofy little game on your phone. I am against what it would do if it could steal your time. I'm not against Facebook. I am against us trying to find out what man thinks more than we're concerned about what God thinks. I am concerned about that. I'm not concerned that we allow our children a time to rest and relax. I am concerned when they think that's all life is. There are concerns. There are guards that need to be put up. And I tell you, it's really going to be hard for us as parents to guide our children if we have no checks on ourselves. Paul instructed Timothy that he was able to point to his own testimony. And Timothy could see Paul's testimony. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Paul said, look at me, do that. Look at what I do, and then do that. It's a dangerous thing when we can't do anything that doesn't mean our phone has to be in front of us. It's easy for us to be doing something and the phone be in the way, or doing something and the TV being in the way. And it's easy for us to try to, we say, well, I multitask. We don't multitask. We stink at multitasking. Every study in the last 10 years has proven we're not good at it. And the truth is that so often we can allow an alternate reality to be the reality for us. I encourage you to just check, just make sure. Look at the phone and say, hey, can I put you down and be away from you for a while? And I would encourage you to do it. It's important that we don't become those parents that say, do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. I would encourage you, take time away from it. Intentionally build it into your schedule. The phone goes in the drawer, and I don't touch it. And it stays away from me. And then be aware. One of the burdens in today's stressed, overworked parents is fatigue. It's tough to stay involved, by the way. Because we're go, 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 and we're on our own device. Sometimes it's easy to forget we should be watching out for what's on theirs. Sometimes we're not bad parents. I don't think there's a bad parent in here. But sometimes I think we get distracted. Good parents can get distracted, and that's all Satan's looking for. Satan's looking for the shepherd that's not being circumspect. Satan's looking for the shepherd who's too afraid to ask, hey, what's on your phone? Hey, what's on that? What's on that tablet? What's on that thing? Hey, what channel were you just watching? That right there, that's all Satan wants. He just wants that moment. He just wants that little bit. That's all he needs. And I'm encouraging you, church, let's be those who are aware of what's going on around us. Let's think of the fact that as that child's logging in, he's tampering with the passcode to the lion in the cage. Make sure the lion's buttoned up tight. Make sure that they're not dancing on the edge of a overview and they're ready one step to fall in. Just protect. Be aware of what's going on. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then discuss the dangers with your children. Discuss the dangers with your children. Part of our conversation with our kids and part of the conversation with our boys. And I know that I hope the dads in here, I hope you have talks with your boys. I hope you have the talks with your boys. I really do. I hope you have conversations that don't shy away from uneasy subjects. Obviously, I know there's kids in here. I don't need to beat anybody up for that. But I do want to just say, dads, it's good for us to be the ones to introduce this subject. Don't let some dork on the internet tell your kids. You talk to them about it. Keep in front of them. And one of those conversations that we intentionally have is the dangers of images online. The dangers of images that can creep in just that fast. You ought to let your kids know, guys, there's stuff on here you should not be around. And it's not on you to guard it. I'm not letting you guard for this. I'm guarding for this. There's things I'm putting in this phone. I'm putting on this device or I'm unplugging from here so that you don't have access to it. I want to protect you. And I promise you that whatever little goofball image your buddies are looking at and laughing at is not so good that I could risk ruining your thought life. I just can't. I've got to protect you. And so talk to them. Talk to them about how it disrupts relationships with friends and family. Talk with them about the fact that it could ruin their dreams and destroy their goals, and it can keep them from God's will for their life. It disrupts sleep, for crying out loud. It jeopardizes school and work and employment. It'll affect your health. And we recognize that there are some mentions here, even in the curriculum, that technology addiction contributes to insomnia, obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and other sedentary lifestyle complications. It really was something valuable when grandma would look at us and say, why are you sitting in here? Get outside. There was something valuable about that, so much so that even today on video game devices, after a certain period of time, a child's played a game a certain amount of time, they'll pop up a little screen and say, don't you want to go play outside? Don't you want to set the device? Don't you want to set the remote down? Of course, the answer is always no, but it even knows. I mean, for crying out loud, even our culture knows. Man, you probably shouldn't spend so many hours in front of this thing. You probably shouldn't be sitting for so long. It creates digital dementia, and technology addiction is so hazardous to our brains, it even overstimulates our minds to where we in effect have dementia. But we forget things too easy. Our brains are these incredible works of science, incredible works of God, and we're actually affecting our ability to think. It can hinder our normal life progression. How many young men have spent time conquering villages with digital princesses to be had and never taken the time to grow a personality? They've played the same stupid video game, and they know all the shortcuts, and they have all the armor, but they've never actually walked out and had a human conversation with another human. It blows my mind, breaks my heart. A year ago, I read a study that said that men today would rather not marry. No, not that they're not marrying, that they're marrying later in life, but because of all the work it would take, it's just easier not to marry. They cited the fact that they have stimulation through video games and they have the ability to conquer and overcome. And so the ability, the desire to win a woman's heart, if I can win this level, I don't really need to win that heart. The ability to impress a young woman, to try to woo her, which, by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you get the one God wants you to have, you woo her the rest of your life. And the truth is that men don't have that desire anymore. If I can win the next level, if I can be cool in this group, if I can have the next thing, this next fake thing that's not even a real thing, you unplug it. This blows my mind. You unplug the device, and they've lost all of their investment. It's gone that fast. But because they have that stimulation, they don't really desire it. And then, of course, the use of pornography takes away any of the sexual urge, and they just don't need it. And men now, and this next generation, millennials and Z, these two next generations, more than likely, there won't even be men to pick from. The available men for marriage are disappearing over and over and over again in our society. It blows my mind. Our children need to know you can lose your life. You can gain that whole digital world and lose your own soul. I think we need to set boundaries, parents. Your child is not going to be mature enough, okay? And by the way, they're not even mature enough to thank you when you take the device away, okay? So don't expect to be able to sit down and say, now, kids, here's the thing. We're going to take time off of the video game for a while, and them to sit silently and say, okay, Dad, absolutely, sounds brilliant. I like the way you lead. It's probably not going to happen. And I'm also not telling you go cold turkey. I'm not saying that. Maybe you need to. I'm not saying go cold turkey. I'm saying there needs to be boundaries, principled boundaries between your children and what wishes to destroy them. It's okay to take nights where they just don't have anything. It's all right for your kids not to have to know what the next big thing is. And frankly, that thing where we have to know everybody's Instagram posts and Twitter posts, it feeds something that's not real. It's not reality. And so I encourage you to put in front of your children a reason to obey you. As Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Sometimes they don't obey because we never commanded. And so I encourage you. Media addictions are serious. In addition to the physical, emotional, and relational reasons we must cite the fact that there is a biblical reason to avoid sin, avoid the destruction it wishes to cause your family. Next week when we come back, we'll deal with spiritual formation. There's more than just a physical protection. There's a spiritual formation that we're to be overseers of.